Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 165 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today, I am so excited about our guest, Dr. Mindy Pels. Dr. Mindy is a renowned holistic health expert and one of the leading voices in educating women about their bodies. She is on a mission to start a woman's health revolution. Teaching her signature five-step approach, Dr. Mindy has empowered hundreds of thousands of people around the world to harness their body's own healing abilities through fasting, diet variation, detoxing chemicals from the body, stress management, and lifestyle changes as keys to achieving optimal health and slowing down the aging process. Her private coaching group, The Reset Academy, teaches women how to sync a fasting lifestyle with their hormones. There's nothing that Dr. Mindy loves more than empowering people to take back control of their health. Her YouTube channel featuring fasting and alternative health tips has garnered over 28 million lifetime views. She's the author of three, soon to be four, best-selling books, The Menopause Reset, The Reset Factor, and The Reset Kitchen. And her members-only Facebook group, The Resetters Collaborative, includes over 50,000 active members who regularly participate in Dr. Mindy's exclusive monthly Fast Training Week programs. She also has a podcast, The Resetters Podcast, and it's ranked within Apple's top 40 categories of U.S. science podcasts. So welcome, Dr. Mindy. I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I was saying before we started recording that personally, this is like just so wonderful for me. I've kind of hinted to my audience here on the podcast that's been a tough past year for me, which I'm going to address in an upcoming podcast episode. But I wanted to say that this has been the key to get me back on track is following Dr. Mindy's protocol that she's outlining in her new book coming out later this month, Fast Like a Girl. So we're going to dive into all of that. But I just want to say thank you right up front, because it really was like a savior for me. And it just makes so much sense to me intuitively. So thank you.
I love your story, because I feel like so many women are suffering mentally, physically, so many ways, just from one simple thing. They're living out of accordance with their hormones. And when you understand your hormones and you start to sync everything from food to fasting to exercise to social to, I mean, everything can be synced to our hormones. You start to discover that the health habits that you're trying, you're muscling your way through, become much easier.
It just makes so much sense again. Yeah. And yeah, way easier to work with our hormones than just constantly fight against them or make them the enemy. It's like, this is a way to work with them, which I love.
Yeah. Agreed.
So, start off by telling us, I know that you have a little bit of an addiction history yourself. So tell us, about your own health journey and what led you to like where you are today.
Yeah. As I was telling you when we started, this is really fun for me to talk about this, because I don't talk about this a lot. But I was raised by a health food mom who, you know, wouldn't let us have sugar in the house and went organic before organic was a thing. We were eating gluten-free before gluten-free was a thing. This is back in the 70s. So you can only imagine what the food, you know, the organic health food was like at that point. So when I became a teenager, like what most teenagers do, I completely went the opposite direction and rebelled. And tons of fast food, I got a really quick sugar addiction, eating sugar all the time. And that pretty much continued until I went into college, and I was a competitive tennis player. And I remember we used to have these weigh-ins where they would like actually put us on a scale once a month. I know it's horrible to think about. And if you were overweight, they would, you know, you'd have to go on a diet. It's not like they gave you any ideas on what to do. And I actually ended up going to Weight Watchers sophomore year of college, because the tennis coach told me I had to lose weight. And it was in that moment that I started to understand the value of food and how food could actually help or food could hurt. And long story short, it took me several years to get my nutrition back on track. And once I dialed it in for myself, I noticed that the sugar cravings went away. And it just became easier and easier. The more I focused on health, the less I focused on weight, the more I focused on health, the easier everything got.
And it's so hard when I know for me, like that was a big factor in me deciding give up sugar and flour. I was so worried about my weight. You know, it's kind of the biggest I'd ever been. And I was really down about myself. But now I always say the weight loss that I've experienced is so low on the benefit list. There's so many other benefits to it. But a lot of times that's what brings a lot of us wanting to lose weight or look different.
Yeah. Yeah. And to that point, you know, in the book, one of the first chapters, I have the five failed myths that keep us stuck in that diet loop that we can't get out of. And it really is one of the biggies is that when we focus on weight loss, we go into massive restriction. And if you turn the 180 degrees and you focus on health, what's going to make me healthy? How do I eat according to my hormones? What strategies do I have to amplify health? You start to see that weight just falals off. So it's like a coming in the back door of weight loss.
Oh, I love this so much. And let's just, dive right into that and your book, Fast Like a Girl, which I've already pre-ordered. I'm so excited to have it. I was lucky enough to read a earlier version before the podcast. I've read it, but I wanted a book. This is one that I want to highlight and have in my hands. You know, yes. I don't want it on Kindle. I want the hard book that I can read and highlight. So let's just get right into it. Because again, this makes so much sense to me. And I remember thinking around ovulation, I can tell that I am hungrier, I can tell that I'm hungrier and tireder. And I remember paying attention that if I kind of ate a little more during ovulation and then rested a little bit, my period was usually easier. And I was kind of doing that even before you really addressed that and why that exactly the case. Yeah. But I think the first thing I wanted to say is how important it is just to track your cycle if you're not doing that already for women. Agreed. We're going to be talking about days 1 to 10. You should be doing this. And there's so many free apps now to track. And I used to have polycystic ovary syndrome. So my periods were never regular. And now post having kids, they've been regular. And I'm delighted every month that I get my period. I'm probably really unusual that way. So I really love tracking it because I'm oh my gosh, 30 days, 29 days, this is amazing. But I just wanted to say that to people, if you're not tracking it, it's so important. This is data that we need. You know, we talk about continuous glucose monitoring or other testing that we do. But I just feel for women, we have to know what day we are in our cycle. So let's just start that there.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you brought that up because at 45 was the first time I started tracking my own cycle. And it was because I was trying to find a rhythm for my fasting, but I was also trying to understand my hormones as I was going through perimenopause. And what's really interesting, and I think this is the important thing about tracking, is we have to remember that we have three major sex hormones that drive us: estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And here's the interesting part. If we just go from the front half of the cycle, clinically, we call that the follicular phase. In the new book, I gave them all fun names because I want hormones to be fun. So, but in the front half of our cycle, we have estrogen coming in that day one through about day 10 of our cycle. And when estrogen goes high, she actually does really well with a low carb diet, She does well with longer fasts. She's going to be amplified. When we push our workouts, she'll do great there. Ovulation is the culmination of three major hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So when those hormones come in, you know, testosterone gives us drive and motivation. You have your estrogens at its peak. So you're going to be very verbal. And so you're motivated, your brain is clear, you're verbal, and then progesterone calms us a little bit. But when you have all those hormones, really the focus at that point needs to be your gut and your liver. And how do you break down all those hormones so you use them? And then when we come out of ovulation, all our hormones drop again for a few days and we can go back into more of our extreme habits of like fasting and cardio and low keto. But here's the key, and this is so important for people who have any kind of sugar addiction, is around day 18, 19, progesterone's coming in. Progesterone plays totally different. She wants glucose to be higher. She doesn't want cortisol to be high. In fact, estrogen can handle a lot of stress in your life, but progesterone can't. So if we go into day 19 until we bleed in a restrictive, calorie restrictive, carb restrictive place, that's where we suffer, because in order to make progesterone, you actually need more glucose. So your body naturally becomes more insulin resistant during that time. There's a reason you crave carbs. There's a reason you're craving sugar during that time. And it's because your body demands that you bring that glucose up so that you have enough glucose to make progesterone. And the key for somebody who's got any kind of sugar addiction at that point is really switch over to nature's carbs. Lean in more to your fruits. Lean in more to your root vegetables, your squashes, your potatoes, tropical fruits, citrus fruits. These are going to help you build progesterone. And if you follow that pattern where you're going more lower carb at the front half of your cycle, more nature's carb in the back half of your cycle, to your point, cravings go away. It's because you're now in this natural rhythm of what the body wants. And that's what I heard in what you said. And when we opened this up, I was like, yeah, there's another example of when you're fasting like a girl or eating like a girl or in the rhythm of your hormones, you will see a change in your cravings.
Yeah, it's so much easier. It's like swimming with the current instead of against it. You know, so many of us, I think, feel like we need to be at war with our hormones and just all, you know, how negative we are around, oh, I'm my period and blah, 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 blah. But I feel like it's such a good way to like kind of reframe and work with it. And I'm really glad that you said about the nature's carbs. I know people, I know my addicts are out there like, ooh, Dr. Mindy just like gave us the green light for more carbs. but it still is a certain kind. Yeah, the nature's carb. I like how you put that.
Yeah.
So it's again, yeah, that's when you might be able to have a little more fruit, or like I love sweet potatoes and, you know, potatoes, that kind of thing. Not like, yeah, she's not telling to have like cakes and bagels and, you know, those things.
No, in fact, if you give yourself permission to lean into more nature's carbs, stop counting calories. That's one of the myths, the dieting myths that I put out there. Stop looking for the sugar-free foods, start looking for the high quality foods. But if we just take the cycle that I just gave, if we just look at that week before our period and we give ourselves permission to eat nature's carbs without counting calories, without counting macros, and we lean into fruits, we lean into the more of the starchier foods, you will see that you're going to start to crave those foods the next time it comes around, and you won't crave them in the front half of your cycle. So to your point, I am not saying you sit on the couch and eat a tub of ice cream and a box of pizza. That is a recipe for hormonal disaster. But I also understand, as a former sugar addict, how hard it is to unhook yourself from the demands that the knocking on your brain to eat more sugar. So let's eat the right sugar, and then let's see if those cravings change.
Yeah. And I would say that's been so true for me. And I think sometimes some people, and I think you've talked about this in your own story, like you were fasting really hard, even in this week before. And then that kind of leads to like this burnout, or if some people will say, they'll be like, you know, you know, knee deep in a tub of chocolate or something, or, you know, elbow deep in a bag of chips, because they get almost overwhelmed by the cravings. So I've been probably following this for about 3 cycles now, I will say.
Oh, perfect.
And I just finished my last cycle and I barely had any cravings at all. I know, and I'm shocked because I always do, even though I've been almost sugar and flour free for 5 years. And I will, you know, kind of address this on another perimenopause episode that I did. But once I hit 42, big shifts in my hormones. And all of a sudden I was having cravings again that I wasn't having. My PMS was a lot worse, you know, and now I was really kind of worried about that. And now I was gaining weight, even though nothing else had changed, like my body. And I talked to a lot of my friends at the same age and they're like, our bodies are like repositioning themselves without our permission. It was just like weird. And I don't believe in weighing myself, but I could just tell by the way my clothes fit. And I will say too, I would say within 1 or 2 cycles, that extra, whatever was going on, just the weight was off again, like just my normal appearance again, like where I feel like, so it's to me just so life changing and how easy it really is.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the questions that I get from people, especially people who have been doing keto successfully, they struggle to eat. What I recommend is you eat more carbs at ovulation, and you eat more carbs the week before your period. So when these hormones go high, that's when we want to lean more into nature's carbs. And then when hormones are low, we can get the carbs out and do more meat and vegetables at that time. And what I found is if you work with that rhythm, you literally can have your cake and eat it too, in some sense. Like you will not find yourself deprived, and you will lose weight eating more carbs at the right time of your cycle. And there's been so much poor attention by the media saying that women shouldn't do keto, women shouldn't do fasting. And I would say, yeah, if you're going to do it all month long, but how about, you know, when to do it? And now you're going to find that that weight loss becomes effortless. Literally. I know it sounds too good to be true.
And that is like, cause so many people I think are listening that are very restrictive and think, oh my gosh, I can't add back. But it is the time that you do it. Like it's the, you know, it makes all the difference. And yeah, I love that you talk about, it's not stop counting calories. It's really focus on the quality of what you're eating and when you're eating at certain times.
Yep.
I also have heard a lot like, oh, women can fast just like men can. No, like it's just crazy to me that we don't take into like consideration where the hormonal piece for women are just so different. It just makes, again, so much sense.
We can't do anything like men. We're not meant to do anything like men. I know that, like, you know, that, and I'm an empowered woman who my mom taught me, like, you can do anything, you're a woman. And I agree, but we have to always take our hormones into consideration. What's really interesting about the title is when I came up with the title Fast Like a Girl, there was some concern over the word girl. A lot of people were like, you know, the Me Too movement had just happened. And there was a lot of like, well, I'm a woman. And so I asked actually my cousin-in-law, who is an eco-feminist teacher at the college level. And I was like, okay, you're like my feminist of all feminists. How do you feel about the word girl? And she pointed me to a beautiful essay that was written in the 80s called Throw Like a Girl. And it was by a philosopher that talks about how important it is that we do things like girls for our female body. And that when you look at actually even throwing like a girl, if you look at the ratio of our arm length to our torso compared to a man, there's actually a very specific way that we are supposed to throw. And I would say the same thing with everything you and I are talking about. When you sit down and you look at your hormones, you discover that there is an art to being a woman, to being a girl, to catering to these hormones. And once you learn how to do it, everything becomes effortless.
It's like harnessing it for like good, you know, like instead of evil, it's like our girl, it's our superpower in a lot of ways if we can harness it the right way. And I agree. I think it's a celebration. It's very empowering.
Celebration. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of, again, I hear a lot, even with the sugar addiction, like it can feel so controlling or out of control, but this is a way, you know, to take control and work again with your hormones, with our bodies, our natural rhythm. And then you'll just see, and that's why I'm inviting everyone needs to get the book and read it and then implement it, because, and not just for sugar addicts. I've gotten a few copies for like friends and family, because again, this can help every single woman out there. I just wish again that I'm sure, you know, I wish I'd found it sooner or thought about that sooner. Cause I think it makes those transitions a lot easier, especially in the perimenopausal years. And I do want to talk about postmenopause. I do have listeners that are like, okay, this is great, but I don't have a cycle anymore. So what do I do? So maybe we'll just address that now, since I, you know, kind of brought it up for those women that are post cycle, you know, what, or even I have some women that, you know, had hysterectomies and are, you know, in early kind of forced menopause and they haven't had a cycle at all. What do you suggest for these women?
Yeah. So the same similar rules apply. We have to, and here's where men and women differ. Men really only have testosterone to think about. We have estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone to think about. So if we just take those three hormones, I already mentioned estrogen likes us to keep insulin down, glucose down. Progesterone likes the opposite, likes us to bring glucose up. And testosterone in general does really well with, you know, there's not a lot of foods we can eat that will raise testosterone. Fasting will raise testosterone, but in general, more leafy greens, more vegetables will help with the breakdown of testosterone. So with those three things in mind, here's what we do is we, and there's a couple ways a postmenopausal woman can splice this. Let's start there. No period, haven't had it for a year. Maybe you've had surgical menopause. You could do it on a weekly basis where 5 days a week, you can go into your low carb habit. You can fast. I recommend if you're new to fasting, try to get to the 13 to 15 hour like fasting ledge. You can start there and stick with a lower carb meal or eating style. I call it ketobiotic in the book. And you can do that for 5 days. Then 1 day a week, and now you're catering to estrogen. 1 day a week, you're going to increase your fasting. Try to go, you know, if you haven't fasted before, this sounds crazy, but I teach you how to do it in the book. You want to try to do like one meal a day where you're fasting almost 24 hours or somewhere beyond 20. And the reason for that is that you're going to get raised testosterone the longer you fast, and you're going to repair the gut to help that break it down. You can eat whatever meal you want that day. And then 1 day a week, you're catering to progesterone and you're bringing glucose up. You want to get carbs somewhere between 100 to 200 grams of nature's carbs, and you're not fasting. So that would be like a weekly routine where you're like really balancing estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone for a woman who doesn't have a cycle. Now, in the new book, I put a 30-day reset in there for those women to just follow a 30-day protocol. It should be really easy, and it'll help you get that natural rhythm that you want with those three hormones. Go ahead.
I think I heard you, and maybe it was like on Instagram or something, you were talking about how you're kind of excited for when you're post.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because this is so much easier. It's like, it's like 5-1-1, you know, instead of, okay. Cause I actually have like a sticky note, which people can't see, but I'll show you. It's like day 1 to 10. Like that's what I was writing down. That's what I'm supposed to, I can eat more, you know, less carbs then days 11 to 15. But this is just,
We have an app that's coming out with the book so that you don't have to have sticky notes that will record. That's like a companion guide for the book. But I love your sticky note. That's exactly, that's how it works.
So, I know. And I've screenshot it. Yes. But so it's almost easier in some ways, like this 5-1-1 post, you know? Yeah.
And it's fun, you know, when I started to apply this to my own life, all these theories, and then I went to my social media and applied it to millions of women's lives, I realized it is really fun to have flexibility. When did we ever get caught in this idea that there was one diet we were supposed to follow every day of the month, every cycle of life, and we were going to stick to that diet over and over and over again. That is completely wrong. The beautiful part about being a woman is we do have these three hormones that want to be treated differently and with food, a lot of things. So if you can ease into it, you'll find that there's a lot of playfulness in that.
Yeah, I love that. And again, it just helps when it doesn't feel so restrictive then. Yeah. Like, I think that really helps people.
Yeah.
So then exactly. I also have a friend that I told her I would ask this because she is, well, surgical, like you kind of said, menopause forced, but she also has diverticulitis. And she said, but I'm supposed to eat more frequently. I don't think fasting will work for me. So how do you, you know, address like health issues like that that people have?
So there's a couple of issues where you're going to want to slowly work yourself into a fasting lifestyle. Diverticulitis would be one of them. Some thyroid issues, and I write all about that in the book. I would also say adrenal fatigue is another one where you're just going to kind of have, I have a whole couple of weeks that you can look at doing a pre-reset is what I call it. I would have her follow this, but I'll give you a little bit of an idea of what that is. So for starters, in a situation like that, let's make sure we've got food very, very clean. So are you eating the right oils? And I'm not even talking counting macros, but oils is the worst macro. The bad fats are making us insulin resistant. They're making us crave more sugar. They're destroying our gut. So the first thing I would tell her is let's make sure you're eating good oils, not bad oils. And I put a whole bunch of lists in the book on what those are. Second thing I would say is make sure you're eating nature's carbs, like we've talked about, not man-made carbs. So this also means like gluten. So, you know, with diverticulitis, I would get her off gluten for sure. Make sure that she's completely off of processed refined flours, and really sticking mostly to nature's carbs. And then the third thing is make sure she's off of all toxins. So a lot of people think they're doing themselves great weight benefit. I know this isn't a weight question, by drinking Diet Coke or a lot of NutraSweet products. Make sure she's completely eating clean. There's none of those toxic ingredients in. Now, once she's accomplished those three things, what we're going to do is the next morning, slowly push her breakfast back like a half hour. So she's just going to take all the food she eats and slowly compress it into one eating window, starting with a half hour. And then, so like if she eats breakfast at 8, now she's going to eat breakfast at 8:30. Next day, do that maybe 3 days in a row. Then can she push it back to 9? And then slowly over time, maybe within a couple of weeks, can she get it back to 10 and to 11? And here's why I want her to do this, is that there is nothing that heals the gut better than fasting. I am telling you, in my clinic, I sold, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars in gut supplements trying to help people, only to discover that the greatest tool is fasting. And if you can get somebody to fast, you will change the microbiome. You will repair a leaky gut. You can overturn diverticulitis. So, and she's going to see that it's okay to not be eating all day. So you got to look at fasting as a therapy. It's not necessarily, it's not a diet, it's a therapy, and knowing how to use that therapy to you, whatever condition you want to heal, is really important.
I love that. Thank you. And I was thinking, you know, when I read your book, the one thing that I really took away from it that I want to mention, because we kind of, and in the book, it will dive into it more, like day one through this, you eat this. And then when you're ovulating, you eat this. But what you say during that ovulation phase is no alcohol, like really important then. And it makes sense to me when you're talking about, you know, your liver is already trying to deal with those three hormones, and you don't want to add, you know, alcohol on top of it. But, you know, I like that too, because some people are able to still drink even like I'll have tequila once in a while, and even other stuff like wine once in a while. But now I'm always very careful. Like, I'm not going to have it at that time.
Yeah. Because you need your liver at its prime from day 10 to day 15. That liver is breaking down all three sex hormones. So any strain and stress you put on your liver during ovulation is going to start to affect that hormonal production. And I just think it's really important that we have an awareness of what our body needs to be able to produce and to metabolize these hormones.
Mm-hmm. And for people who are like, well, what else am I supposed to eat? So again, in the book, you really go through like what foods to avoid, what foods to have. We just had Ben Azadi on the podcast.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So yeah, we were talking, but he really went through the seed oils with us and made people really understand the dangers there. Yeah, and so yeah, you have this all outlined, and then what each, you kind of call like manifestation phase. You kind of say each phase and then what to eat and avoid in those phases. You know, what I like too, I think it's in the ovulation phase, it's more like fermented foods is good. Like I do enjoy kombucha, even though it has sugar in it. It's something that I can have once in a while, but now I'm having it just in that time. Again, using it at the times that's going to like work with me. So I found that to be really, really beneficial too. So I just want people to know that you really kind of give them all the information, because I know people are always like, well, what am I supposed to eat?
Yeah.
And that's the important thing too. It's when you are eating. So say you try some longer fast, which I also want to talk about now, kind of transitioning. Like I've done a 24-hour fast now, and I really want to do a 48-hour, but I'm, again, especially addicts, we're like all or nothing. Like you can't just jump in and do like a 48-hour fast, 24-hour. You really, like she said, start with maybe 13 to 15 hours and chisel away at it. And again, do it at the times that it's really going to be easier, like working with your hormones. So yeah, I did a 24-hour, which felt good, but I really want to try a 48-hour, but I wanted to be like, let me get a few cycles under my belt first.
Yeah, I love it. You got it. Yeah. It's so fun to hear. It's so fun to have it reflected back to me. Like A, that what you took out of the book, and then B, how you're applying it. I just love it. I feel like I'm a living A-plus example.
Student here.
You are an A-plus student.
I really like to be, but it just has worked so well for me. And right. I'm like, again, and my addictive tendency is like, oh, more is better then. And it's like, no. So I'm so proud of myself to get to a point now where I can be like, no, I have to like follow, I could, really mess this up. Like, let me keep doing this slowly. You don't have to do everything, in one night. So I like that is in the book too. Like you said, there's kind of like a pre-reset to get people there, and we're all going to come at this at different places where we are with our nutrition, but it's very important when you're doing, my point was with these longer fasts, you still can't eat like whatever you want when you have that one meal. We're still trying to eat these like, really healthy, nutritious foods, not eating like all the processed junk. Cause there are some people that fast that way.
Yeah.
And people that will lose weight that way, but they feel like crap. And and that's why, it still matters the quality of the food that we're eating. So
thank you for pointing that out, because that is like one of my number one food rules is that for myself is that I just won't put junk ingredients into my body. So last summer I was in on vacation, and I walked into a traditional grocery store. We normally go to farmers markets, and I was looking at all the keto foods, and there was like Oro Wheat had like a keto bread. And I flipped the thing over and I was like, oh, what is this going to be? It was just a pile of toxins in bread. Sure, the carb content was low, but that's not what we're going for. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching that we learn how to lean into high quality ingredients. And there's certain ingredients you're going to want to eat more at certain times of the month and certain times of the year. So I think it's really important that we emphasize quality is needs to be first when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm. And you do a really good job of explaining that in the book and giving examples of that. But yeah, people I know on keto are like, oh, these keto bar, just because it says keto, just because it says natural, it's all marketing. That doesn't mean you still want to eat real food,
Yeah. I was at a conference this summer, a keto conference, speaking at it. And, the big vendor hall is always really fun to go to all the booths, but like 90% of it were these keto foods. I literally had no interest in that, because my style of how I approach nutrition is what's my fasting window going to be, and eat high quality food. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I don't need any gimmicky food, because I eat real food.
Yep, exactly. And the more you eat it, you crave it too. Yeah. You know, like you were kind of saying, I know my taste buds have changed so much since giving up sugar and flour. Yeah. So let's talk about those, some of those longer fasts and the benefits there are to doing, you know, like a 24-hour fast. And
Yeah. Thank you for bringing this up too, because this is another one of my really big messages. So the first thing I want everybody to know, if you haven't fasted and you're like 48 hours without food, 24 hours without food, that's insane. Your body is programmed to fast. So you have two energy systems, one where you gather energy from the food you eat. And the other one is what we call the fat burner system that you gather energy from when you fast. You have come pre-programmed once you tap into that fat burner system with all these healing mechanisms, all these neurochemicals that are going to kick in. So, you know, ketones are one of those. The longer we fast, the more ketones we make. And did you know that ketones go up into the brain and they flip off the hunger hormones? So you stop being hungry. We also know when you get to like 48 hours, we start to see dopamine get reset. And so you get more dopamine receptor sites. So you're actually happier the longer you go. The more ketones that are made, the more GABA, the neurotransmitter GABA kicks in. So the calmer you are. So, and the noise inside our head that happens from eating all day, especially eating poor food, the longer you go, it quiets down. And you just get really, really still with yourself as the body goes into this healing phase. Now, I will tell you that the first time you go into these longer fasts, all your demons come up. So all of your, like how you use food comes up. That's a gift. Listen to those. I'll give you an example of mine. My mom was a eat every 2 hours or you will pass out kind of message that she told me. And so when I did my first 24-hour fast at about 3 o'clock, I must've been about 17 hours in, I was in my practice seeing patients and I felt horrible. And I thought, oh my God, if I feel horrible now, how am I going to feel 2 hours from now? And what I eventually learned is the longer you go, the better you feel. It's so counterintuitive. You have to experience it. So in the book, I put, 6 different length fasts. They're all based off of science. And then if you want to try some of these longer fasts, we're going to do a worldwide 3-day water fast. It's free. We're doing it the first week of January for anybody who wants to join. I'm going to show.
Whichever cycle lines up.
Yeah, whoever. Good point. Well done. I'm going to have modifications. We're doing a webinar every day where I'll be there encouraging people and leading people on. So it's really profound when you dip into those longer fasts. So if you're like listening to me and you're like, you're crazy, read the book. I wrote the science in all of it, of each one of those fasts. So you can really understand that. But then just sit with yourself and ask yourself, like, you know, what would it be like if you could detox without spending any money? You could repair your gut without spending any money. 36 hours, we know your body's going to actually unstick weight loss. That's scientifically proven. What would that be like if you finally dropped weight for the first time because you just tried one 36-hour fast? Or 48 hours resets the dopamine. What if this is your key to mental health and you don't need to be on all the antidepressants, which are now proving to not be as effective as we thought? What if at 72 hours, we know the whole immune system gets reset? What if that's your flu shot for the year? Or you get all these stem cells that come in and start repairing injured body parts? What about all those physical therapy appointments you're going to? What if just trying this for 3 days and experimenting with this makes such a profound difference that you don't have to engage in all those other habits?
I'm already looking at my cycle right now. And it's so funny.
I love it.
Supposed to get my period on January the 2nd, which would be, other thing for people listening. Day one, because people ask me, what's day one? Day one is the day you get your period. Yeah. So that's where you start. And then, you know, and again, in your book, you start day one and then day 19 on is kind of till you bleed again. So realizing that people are going to have, you know, different cycle lengths. So, but I am going to say this, and this is a personal question of mine, but I wonder if other people feel this too. So because I just came out of my period, day one and day two, I'm still pretty hungry. So yeah. I kind of have just allowed maybe a little extra nature's carb then. And I find for myself personally, like day three, four, I'm like, oh yeah, easy again to be without it. But it's like the first 2 days. I don't know if you have seen that
transition. Yeah, it's the transition. And if I could add anything into the book at this point, it would be that, because what I hear in that is you did exactly the right thing. You're fasting like a girl, which is listening to your body. So once our period starts on day one, and I always say it's the day you need feminine care products. So it's not spotting. It's the day that you actually need to lean into some kind of feminine care product. There's a crash of those hormones. They come down. And we each are going to navigate that crash differently. What I found is the longer you fast like a girl, the shorter those days will be. So I'm curious over time if you notice that gets easier. But when people tell me they're struggling, they have cramps when they start their period, they can't seem to, you know, get out into the world and function the first 3 days of their period, that's because they haven't been minding the hormones the whole cycle long. So the longer you do this, the easier it gets. And then all those hormonal symptoms that are associated with our period that we villainize and bitch about, those all change. And the one thing that I have found interesting, I don't know if you've noticed this, when I did have a cycle, is that I'd be going along fasting and doing great. And then I usually would eat at like noon was when I would open up my eating window. And then there, all of a sudden it would hit me and it'd be like 8 a.m. and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. Why am I hungry? And when I started to look at it, it was all timed up to what I call the nurture phase in the book, which is the week before our period. And so then I'd realize it would go away the minute my period would start. I could go back and fast for, you know, really easily. I didn't want to eat on day two and day three. So, you know, when you tap into this, most women say what you say. They're like, oh yeah, this is actually what I normally notice. I just never associated it with anything. But that transition, day one and day two, you make smart decisions like you did. Maybe you go a little bit more carbs. Maybe you do a little less fasting, but listen to your body.
And then like know that it might evolve, like you're saying, like, and give it a few cycles, I would say to people like I have. And now that we're even just reflecting back on this, for me, this being my third time, I barely had any cramps. And it almost like I got my period and I was like, oh, like it, usually I can tell, like my PMS symptoms were a lot less. I do think I have an evil ovary. Like one ovary seems give me more trouble, but so maybe it was my nicer ovary this month, but I will check that next month too. And just see, like, that's what I'm looking to see is okay, less, you know, cause my boobs just hurt so much. And then I get cramps even before I bleed. So yeah, I've already noticed like this one seems like, oh, like how I would imagine it should be, you know, wasn't like I could just go about my business. So
We're not meant to suffer through our periods. And, you know, if we go into the amount of money that's made on us suffering through our periods, we're not meant to suffer. And I really am hoping that Fast Like a Girl helps women understand themselves. And you're giving me great feedback to see that it is absolutely doing that. And the evil ovary, I love that idea, because do we even realize that one, you know, we release one egg from one ovary 1 month, and then the next month we do an egg from a different one. I've got some women that I'm coaching right now where they'll have one cycle that's like 28 days. And then one cycle that's like 34 days. And that has to do with which ovary we're working on or is making, you know, its appearance and its debut at that moment. But once you start applying these, you start to see your cycle balance out.
Yeah. And that's what I like, cause I noticed every other period was really, and then when I learned, oh, it's because you ovulate, you like, it rotates with ovaries. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that makes like perfect sense. So, again, reflecting back, this is really good. We're doing this because sometimes we make these changes. And if you don't reflect back, you don't even realize, but I can tell I start getting like a sore lower back.
Yes. That's progesterone. Progesterone.
So when I'm ovulating, get like, I can feel it in my low back. And I felt it like slightly this time, but I was like, oh yeah, I'm off. And then it was like a reminder, like, oh yeah, I can, you know, eat like a little bit more right now and shorten my window. And rest. Like that's the other thing we haven't talked about. You do address like the better time to like work out and the times to really rest. Like we don't need to work out and we shouldn't work out like hardcore, you know, all the weeks of our cycle. So I really like that you address too, like the times that you can work out a little bit more, do some more cardio, and then the times to really rest. And that has been hugely beneficial to me, especially during that ovulation time, is if I just rest a little more then, you know, and I'm a person that like wants to like push it. So for anyone else out there that's like me and wants to do everything perfectly, there's a little wiggle room, right? Like listen to your body's first foremost. Like if like me, you find that day one, I'm not quite ready to fast a little bit longer, and then pay attention because that might change the next month as you do this longer, it sounds like. So
and one of the things I've been saying as the book is getting ready to launch into the world is that I'm really hoping we can bring the feminine back into healthcare. And you know, we have a very masculine driven, this doesn't mean that they're all male doctors in healthcare, but it has a masculine approach to it, which is here's your symptom, here I'm going to label it, and then I'm going to give you one treatment. And it's a very rigid approach to healing that actually works better for men than women. As women, we need a softness to how we approach our healthcare and all of our health habits. And we, because of these hormones, we have an ebb and flow to it. And what I'm hoping, and you're just warming my heart because you're really proving it in action, that once you understand where these hormones are going, when they're coming and going, you can really give yourself grace and you can know when, hey, I can step into that type A behavior, which by the way, I'm a total type A. I love the type A behavior. I love let's achieve as women, let's conquer the world. I love that. But then we have to respect that we also have to have times of softness and recovery. And if we can find that ebb and flow for ourselves, I really believe we can stop breast cancer. We can stop so many cancers. We can stop Alzheimer's and menopause symptoms, gut issues, PCOS, you name it. These are all because women are not learning that ebb and flow for their own cycles.
I love that so much. Yeah, it just gives me like so much hope. And I have my daughter's only 7. I love learning all this now and being able to like educate her in a totally different way about our bodies. So this has all been so amazing. Is there anything else that we haven't gotten to that you might've wanted to mention from the book, or just anything in general, like any kind of, cause there's so much, like I could talk to you for hours and hours.
Thank you. the only thing I want to just touch basis on is the perimenopausal woman, because I've just come out of that period, and I want to just say how much I understand. It's really frustrating when you have a 2-week cycle 1 month and then you have a 60-day cycle the next month. So in the book, there is that 30-day reset. So track your cycle and then match that reset to your cycle. And if all of a sudden 30 days go by and the cycle hasn't shown up, then what I really recommend is you just start at day 30, just start the reset all over again and do that for 90 days so you can start to get to know what the rhythm of these different length fasts and different foods are. Second thing, and this would be great for everybody, but especially imperative for the perimenopausal woman is to understand the personality of your hormones. I literally, I was 166 days into my menopause journey when I got a period in October. And I was like, oh man, okay, I guess I'm back now on, the countdown for a year. But what I do every day, like if most days, like today, I was not hungry and I haven't really eaten much. It's almost 4 o'clock. I haven't really eaten much today. But that tells me that, okay, it's estrogen that's showing up today. And so what do I know about estrogen? She likes lower carb. Okay, I'm going to eat lower carb. She likes me to fast longer. I just went and did a hard workout. She likes me to push my workouts a little more. She does well with that. Some days I wake up, it's 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm famished. And my skin's really dry and my back hurts. I didn't sleep very well. And so I've learned, oh, wait a second. That's progesterone. She needs some help today. So why don't I eat breakfast? Why don't I up my carbs? And so I've learned to have a relationship with these hormones because I don't technically have a cycle to a regular cycle to map it to.
And oh, so I love that you're addressing this because I'm still kind of early perimenopause where, and this is the other thing I didn't realize about perimenopause because I've always had longer cycles. Now they're like pretty much every 28 days. And I have friends that their cycles are getting shorter and shorter and shorter. And sometimes that's a sign too, that you're in perimenopause, but then you tend to go to where you're saying, and this is like a 10 to 12 year process.
People, it's a long process.
That's the other thing. All we talk about is menopause, which is after, like you said, you're waiting a full year not to have a period. But the action is all the perimenopausal years. And so that can change. So I love that you address that because that will be somewhere that, you know, I'm going. And that's just such good reminder. You already know, like you, get to know the hormones and you can kind of naturally, react. Yeah. Even if it's not like, oh, day one to 10 isn't like syncing right up. So
There's going to be a little more of an art for you. The other trick that we've been teaching women in my Reset Academy is how to look at the moon cycle. And this is really interesting because most of us have never, it sounds really woo-woo, but actually when you look into the science, it's not. So if we didn't have blue light, from the computer, from the bulbs in our house, from our phones, most women would ovulate at a full moon. So if you don't have an accurate cycle, when you get into the book, I have something called the fasting cycle where you can learn to what length fast that you need to do. Just map it to the moon. So ovulation time, I call it manifestation period in the book, would be a full moon. And then, and then the new moon is day one when most women are bleeding. That would be the new moon. So you can just follow the moon cycle and make that your cycle and you'd be shocked how that will sync those hormones back up.
Oh, I love that. Such a good tip. Yeah. And one last thing that just came to my mind, because I people ask me a lot of questions about this with fasting, is breaking your fast with what? Yeah. And I just wanted to say that is addressed in the book really well with kind of ideas. Because again, we don't want to break the fast with a bagel or whatever. It's really important how you break your fast. And a lot of people ask me about beverages. So let's just address that real quick. Is coffee okay in a longer fast if you don't put anything in it? Is black coffee okay? Or will that break? Is that considered breaking your fast? That's one I hear a lot.
Yeah. So that, this is where bioindividuality comes in, because what determines our blood sugar, how our blood sugar responds to something like coffee, is our microbiome. And your bacteria set, my bacteria set are completely different. So my first answer is, for most people, black coffee is going to be okay in their fasting window. Sparkling water is going to be okay in the fasting window. Tea is okay in the fasting window. Those kind of things typically work okay. Some people can add cream and MCT oil to their tea and coffee and their blood sugar will actually go down, which is keeping them in that fasted state. And I address all of that in the book. I also have found, I offer up a way to test with a blood sugar reader where you can take a measurement you got it. There we go. Like a Keto Mojo, where you take a blood measurement, then drink your cup of coffee, and then a half an hour later, take your measurement again. Are those two blood sugar readings very similar? If the second reading is 5 points or higher, it's pulled you out of a fasted state and it's not working for you in that fasting window.
And so it's important to check the glucose before and after. Because I just don't like coffee. So I'm not a coffee drinker, but I love hot water with lemon.
Yeah.
And so that would be one maybe to test and see if that's something I can do or not. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the second thing on the breaking your fast, this was a really big part of the book that I was really waiting for a fasting book to do, and no fasting book's done it, which is, what do you break your fast with? What breaks a fast, which we just talked about, but what do you break your fast with? And I lay out three things and I talk about why you would do those three things. So again, this is the Fast Like a Girl is about you individualizing this, which is what it sounds like you've done, to your needs. And it sounds like you're finding this, that once you get the understanding behind all these little pieces, it literally becomes effortless. And I used to, like, in my early 40s, like, I would work out to keep my weight where I wanted it to be. I don't worry about my weight at 53. I feel in the best shape of my life. I weigh I don't want to say the least, but I weigh my preferred weight now without much effort. I'm not depriving myself of food. And it's just because I found this rhythm with my hormones that allow me to do that.
All right. And that, to most people listening, that just sounds like a dream, you know, especially right. In these perimenopausal years, I feel like all of a sudden my body started changing, even though I was doing everything the way I had been before. And a lot of people diet harder or work out harder, but actually you don't have to do, this is so much easier by just working with your cycle. So, thank you so much, Dr. Bindi. I'm so glad to have you today. Book comes out December 23rd, right?
27th. This is right after Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, after Christmas.
Okay. Yeah. And we're going to, and you can give it, we have a lot of, like, we have a lot of fun giveaways. You can give it as a Christmas present. And we have on our, if you go to fastlikeagirl.com, we have a little certificate you can download and give to your loved one.
I've done that. Yeah. I will link that so people can look at it. And please follow Dr. Mini too on like Instagram or all. You just post such good information every single day. So thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.